You are listening to the Mic Drop Sports Podcast, dropping the mic on the top stories in sports. Now give it up for your hosts, Mike Schneid and Zach Stein.
Thank you all for listening to the Mic Drop Sports Podcast. I am Mike Schneid, joined by my pal, Zach Stein. We're coming to you from a different platform today. We usually use Anchor to record our podcast, but today we're using the Locker Room app, a new app that a friend of mine told me about, and allows people to listen in live to the show. They can engage, they can speak, they can chat in the little, they can chat in the discussion, ask some questions, offer their own opinions. So we'll see if anyone kind of jumps in throughout this show. We'll focus solely on basketball, on the NBA with the playoffs red hot right now. The lottery took place last week. I have a lot of thoughts on the Knicks and how that kind of played out, but we have to start with Kobe Bryant, whose 42nd birthday would have been today. Zach, we talked about this a little bit last week, our thoughts on Kobe, because before last week, our last show had been on January 26th. So kind of quickly, if Kobe walked up to you right now and you said happy birthday to him, beyond happy birthday, what would you say to Kobe today?
I would have just honestly just said, thank you for providing me with some of the best sports moments of my life. As Lakers fans all over the world, we were spoiled watching a once in a generational talent. And it would have just been cool to meet Kobe and just say, you know, thank you for your greatness. It would have been really cool to see what he could have done during all this quarantine, what kind of, you know, content we could have gotten from Kobe, and maybe training with his daughter at home and stuff like that. I think we robbed of so much greatness of post-basketball life with Kobe, which I've just missed and going to be sad about for a very long time.
Yeah, thank you. It's the same thing that I would say. I don't have the same perspective of the memories. You, of course, growing up as a Lakers fan, but for me, it's more or less just, you know, there's so many memories, so many highlights of him. I'll never forget that the 60-point finale, you know, the 81 points, just everything that he did. I was at Game 4 of the NBA Finals in 2002. That has suddenly a whole new meaning to me in Continental Airlines Arena in New Jersey. Thinking about that now, realizing, like, I was at his third championship and how cool that is. I don't think I saw him live the last couple of years of his career, which is a shame, but I would just say thank you for all the memories. And I mean, he's a legend. It's beyond basketball. I mean, he's a legend. He's an icon in the world. And it's right. It's a shame that we got robbed of what he could do in the world beyond basketball, but he is a global icon whose greatness goes well beyond the game of basketball. But he was certainly a Lakers legend. And as we kind of jump into the playoffs, the Lakers are on the verge of two other legends right now, Anthony Davis, LeBron James. We talked last week, the Lakers were my pick to win the finals. And I sat there watching game one against the Blazers thinking, what did I get myself into? Why did I do this? This seems terrible. What? There's no talent around Davis and LeBron, and I was questioning everything. So game two and game three went great for the Lakers. As a Lakers fan, where's your head at with this team?
Kind of where I said, where I wasn't confident in them winning a championship this year. Their defense has been great. I mean, listen, they lost game one, and they only gave up 100 points in that loss to maybe the hottest offensive team in the bubble. And then in game two, they come back, hold the Blazers to 88, and Lakers get a little bit more on track, score 111. Then they're back on track for game three again. And hold this Blazers team to 108. So we thought their defense would be enough to slow them down, and they have. And the Lakers just had an all-time poor shooting game. I think they were 5 of 32 for 3 in the first game. And listen, Lakers are not a good three-point shooting team, but they're still NBA talent. You're not going to shoot 5 for 32 like ever again, probably in these playoffs. And then they bounce back and hold on. They just hit more threes. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope really stepped up the past two games. Anthony Davis has really stepped up. LeBron had an off game, but again, AD put the load on his shoulders and really put it in. My guess is that it was a wake up call to lose that first game, and they'll win this. But it's going to be interesting to see if they're going to have a tough matchup between either the Thunder or the Rockets, just with their guard play and their possible shooting. So it's going to be an interesting road down the just if once they start advancing.
Yeah, I'm so underwhelmed by the supporting cast. I know they won by 30 in the second game, and they outdueled them Saturday night. But just, I mean, if you're relying on Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Danny Green to hit threes, I'm questioning why I thought this team could win the championship. I really am. Obviously, LeBron has turned it on the last two games. I think the issue with Portland, though, I think they're toast. I think they're burnt. I think they're done. They used up all their energy, all their goodwill to get into the playoffs. And, I mean, Dame's playing with a broken finger. They lost Zach Collins. We know that McCollum's playing with a bad back. At this point, I think the Blazers have reached their peak. I might regret saying this, considering that the Lakers play, or I guess they play tomorrow. But I don't think the Blazers win another game. I think the Lakers win in five. They make their statement, and they move on to play the Rockets in the next round.
I agree. The Blazers look completely gassed at the end of their game last game. So it's going to be tough. I mean, obviously, Dame still scored 34, and McCollum scored 28, but it was a tough 34 for Dame. He was 8 for 20 from the field, was taking bad shots, which, I mean, he's a good bad shot shooter, but he was taking some really bad shots, and it just wasn't enough for them to overcome the Lakers.
The funny thing to me is that when I was watching game two, I was watching the end, you have a former number one overall pick, Dwight Howard, J.R. Smith, the sixth man of the year, Deion Waiters was a number four pick. Those are your guys playing in garbage time up by 30. So it's almost like, why don't they have better depth? If you have former top picks and award winners playing in garbage time, who's playing during the game? And I mean, Danny Green, I saw a great meme. You don't want to make fun of it because of the meaning, but he's wearing the jersey that says, how many more? And someone said, how many more freaking threes can I miss right under it? So, I mean, he was ice cold in game one. I know he's been better the last couple of games, but Kuzma's the guy. I think they need Kuzma. They should be starting Kuzma. I don't know what's up with Frank Vogel, why. Seems like he's stubborn with his lineups, but they need more out of Kyle Kuzma. And if he could be the third best player, then I'd feel more confident about them getting to the finals.
But that's Kyle Kuzma's career so far, is inconsistency. And that's the problem, is that, and it goes back to the Anthony Davis trade. The one guy I didn't want to give up was Kuzma in that trade. And now it's kind of biting me in the back. I wish they included Kuzma and were somehow able to keep Brandon Ingram instead, but my guess is there was no chance they were getting AD with no Brandon Ingram. So, but yeah, I mean, it's tough. And then they just missed on a lot of guys. I thought Danny Green was going to be a key player for them in the playoffs. He hasn't shown up yet. But then in free agency, like, they were trying to maybe sign Kawhi too. And by doing that, they missed out on a much better offense of signing better role players who could shoot. And then that's when they just ended up with having to rely on Deion Waiters and J.R. Smith in these playoffs now, which is not a good formula for success, in my opinion.
It's not, but also they're just, I mean, they're not even getting playing time. Like, we're seeing J.R. Smith and Deion Waiters in garbage time. Like, I feel like they should have just done a better job in those 8 regular season games getting these guys integrated into the lineup so that they're prepared for the situation, but now I feel like they're just not. Also, Markieff Morris is awful. Lakers definitely signed the wrong Morris twin.
Oh, no doubt about it.
But, well, I think they'll win in five. I still think they'll beat the Rockets in the second round. Last week you said that you had the Clippers going all the way and then beating the Lakers. I'm watching them right now. They're struggling against maybe the greatest player in the world. But they're up 2-1. The Clippers look shaky, no?
Paul George has not looked good on these playoffs.
Pandemic P, yes. Forget playoff P. He's pandemic P.
Yeah, he is. He has not been playing well. Kawhi's been awesome. They got up big, and then I think the Clippers just get in this mindset. Oh, Doncic's injured. There's no Porzingis. We got up 15 early. Let's take it like back a step. But no, Doncic is still Doncic. He's got a very impressive triple double working right now. And they went on a massive run. I would still have faith in the Clippers coming back to win this game. But yeah, I mean, they're looking shaky.
I'm impressed and surprised with the Mavs. I said before the season I didn't have the Mavs in the playoffs. I thought Porzingis and Doncic would be an outstanding duo, but I didn't have faith in the supporting cast. And now all of a sudden, I mean, Trey Burke looks like the top 10 pick that he was eight years ago. Tim Hardaway is playing the best basketball he's played since he was at Michigan. Like, these guys are playing very well. But it obviously it all revolves around Luka Doncic, who might just be the best player in the bubble at this, with Dame sort of like cooling off a little bit. I think Luka Doncic at this point might just be the best player in this bubble. And I can't stop staring at the TV watching him play right now.
Going in the fourth quarter, I mean, he's got 28, 12, and 11. That's so silly.
So how do you feel about the Clippers? Just overall, are they going to get, you still think they'll get past this series? You think this is just a little roadblock with Doncic and they can still get
to the
Lakers?
I think it's a little roadblock with Doncic. I mean, this is a really good Mavs team. Doncic, I mean, obviously Porzingis is out, but like you mentioned, the Mavs, this is a solid Mavs roster up and down. They got guys who can make shots and score off the dribble. Clippers are still fine. They're so deep. Like, their bench, I mean, right now they've got 20 points off the bench from Lou Will. Reggie Jackson is making some threes. Montrezl Harrell is awesome defensively. It's just they're so good and so deep. They just have so many different guys that can come up and step up and make a shot. Like, I would not be worried for the Clippers right now.
And I just said the Lakers signed the wrong Morris twin, but Marcus Morris has 0 points on 0-5 shooting. But he'll be fine. I like him on that team and his role. I think the Clippers will be fine just because they're deep. I like their depth more than the Mavs. Whether they win this game four or not, I do think they'll survive. It could at this point go 6 or 7. And then I have no idea who they're going to play in the next round. They're going to play the Nuggets or the Jazz. That series took a weird turn with the Jazz destroying them in game three, which kind of surprised me, that score.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Mike Conley is an important piece to that Jazz roster.
Yeah.
Because that arguably was his best game of his career, probably, with just the significance of coming in a 1-1 series and just going, 8 for 8 from three or something like that? Like, absolutely ridiculous. It rejuvenated the Jazz. Jamal Murray's completely cooled off since that first game.
Yeah, I don't know if I see Conley replicating that in game four. I know Murray's cooled off. I still believe in the Nuggets. I know I took them. I'm going to stick with that prediction. I think it'll be Nuggets Clippers.
I still believe in the Nuggets as well, but I believe that series is going to go 7.
All right, fair. What about, I'm going to skip the Rockets Thunder because I feel like nothing exciting is really happening with that series. And I want to get to the East because I really want to talk. I think the East is done already. I think we already know all the second round matchups, and I think they're going to be awesome. And I have an idea of a different pick that I wanted to make, but I also wanted to talk about the Sixers. Actually, before the Sixers, while watching this Mavs game, I do just want to point out, because I want to talk about the Knicks at some point, and every time the Knicks make a bad trade or a bad pick, you hear it. 55 million people tweet that the Knicks passed on this guy. Can we give the Kings a harder time than we do? Is it because they play in Sacramento? Like, the Kings passed on Luka Doncic for Marvin Bagley. Why don't we talk about this more? This feels like a really big deal that they passed on him.
Yeah, but it is tough being a Knicks fan. I don't know. It's because of the Knicks. I mean, that's the only way, you know. Some teams just get unfairly criticized, and that's just how it is.
And I'll have more to say about that later. But the 76ers, they deserve to be criticized. And here's my hot take on the Sixers and the Knicks. I think the Knicks have a brighter future than the 76ers. They got swept today. They looked horrible the entire series. I mean, they looked horrible all season. You and I said last summer, I think we were in agreement that the Al Horford signing, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we agreed that the Al Horford signing was a terrible idea at the time, right?
Yeah, it was a misfit.
I mean, it's going to cost Brett Brown his job. It might cost Elton Brand his job, too. It's ironic, too, because Elton Brand was, I might get these dates wrong, but he was the number one pick in 1999 by the Bulls. 2 years later, he was traded to the Clippers because it allowed the Bulls to draft both Tyson Chandler and Eddie Curry. And that was a failure. So 20 years later, he's running a similar play. Obviously, Embiid and Horford completely incomparable to those two, but running a similar play with the two big men, and it flopped again. They owe Tobias Harris $1 billion. They owe Horford a ton of money. Embiid is always hurt. Simmons is always hurt, and he can't hit a three. Where does it go from here if you're the Sixers?
To be honest, obviously I'm blowing it up, but I'm blowing it up and building it around Simmons and Tobias. I'm trading Embiid to a team that's got maybe a deep roster. I don't know if I want picks, only because we've seen what teams can do with picks, and then they need to pan out. Like, I just want to throw out, like, a scenario. Like, what if, like, the Pelicans trade for Embiid and the Sixers get some of their shooters or whatnot? Like the Sixers need Ben Simmons to run that offense in a fast offense and surround him with the best shooters in the NBA. That's what he needs.
Isn't J.J. Redick one of the best shooters in the NBA?
Yeah.
Didn't they have him last year?
The first year he ever missed the playoffs. They didn't. They were better last year. But I'm saying Embiid is not a good fit with Simmons. They need more shooters.
Oh, no, I agree. I agree. They definitely need shooters. That's my point, is that they had shooters. They had Redick. They had Marco Bellinelli. Like, they had shooters last year. I don't know where those shooters went. I don't know why they got rid of them. They got rid of Jimmy Butler, but they paid Harris instead.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I like Josh Richardson as a player, but you get rid of Jimmy Butler and you bring in guys who just don't fit on this team. Josh Richardson and Al Horford are misfits on this team, and it just made no sense. It's a roster, and it's like, you look on paper, the roster looks nice with those names, but it's just a roster that doesn't play well together, and they just got embarrassed by a team that has a lot of team chemistry and a lot of good talent and a better coach. And the Celtics are a force.
And they got embarrassed by a team that in 2017, the Celtics had the number one pick. They weren't sold on Markel Fultz, so they moved back. They moved back to three. Sixers moved up. In the process, they also got another future lottery pick. So Jason Tatum is the best player in the Celtics. And they got Romeo Langford, who I know you love, and it would actually be a great fit on the Sixers team right now because he's just a good athletic wing. And the Sixers are stuck with nothing because they traded Fultz for they traded Fultz for Jonathan Simmons, like a second round pick. So They've done a horrible job drafting. Yeah, Fultz looks good. I mean, maybe not number one good, but he looks good in Orlando.
Yeah. He's a solid player, but like, I think you're not making fun of his career anymore.
No, the guy can shoot. He figured out the form. He's been healthy, and he's been a good, solid player on a weird Magic team. Remind me when we do our playoff preview next year to bet everything on the Magic in Game 1. They might be the best Game 1 team in the NBA, having beaten the Raptors last year. Bucks this year. They've lost by, 50 combined the last two games after shocking them in Game 1? That's a weird, weird, kind of terrible team. I don't know how this happened with the Magic. But I feel like the Knicks' future, for all the ripping of the Knicks, might be better than the Sixers. The Sixers are going to trade one of Simmons or Embiid. They don't know who the coach is going to be. They might fire the GM. They have zero roster flexibility because they're capped out for the next 5 years because of Horford and Harris. But I feel like they lost Butler last year, and they're just kind of like, okay, we have cap space. Who's the next best player? Ooh, it's Al Horford. Let's sign him. But he doesn't fit. But let's sign him because we have money. Like, I feel like that's how the conversation went in the office last year.
Yeah, and I think they fell in love with Horford, who was a much better fit in Boston. And in Boston, he was making threes. I don't even know what his shooting percentage this year was threes. But, I mean, he just looked lost on this roster. And it's tough because you're being essentially where he's good. He's good defensively down low, and he's a good post-round player. But Embiid lives around there, and Embiid just does not mesh well with Horford. So it was just a miscast. It was, like, cool for the 76ers in the offseason to be able to have a good, you know, offseason on paper, but it just, they didn't think about, oh, are these guys going to be able to play well together? And the answer was no.
So the Celtics advance. By the time people listen to this, I'm guessing the Celtics are playing the Raptors, and that will be definitive. I think the Raptors win in four. it's a weird thing with like this bubble, because now once you get down like 3-1, 3-0, and you're a team like the Nets, do you really want to keep fighting? Or like at this point, do the Nets just want to go home? I know a lot of these guys are free agents. They're fighting for their jobs. They're fighting for their futures. But in the back of your mind, don't you wonder, like, we're not winning 4 in a row. Let's just pack up and go home, see our family, see our wives, see our kids.
There's going to be a little bit of pride going on for the Nets. But it's just the Nets, I mean, you have to tip their hats. They are so shorthanded. It's amazing that they're here to begin with. They almost won game one. And it's just, you know, they play hard. They definitely, you know, they played hard, but their time is up. I'd be like, Toronto is experienced. They're not going to, you know, let up on the gas with a 3-0 lead. They know what the extra rest could mean while the rest of the first round finishes up. My guess is that, you know, it's sad, but, you know, the Nets have a lot to look forward to next season and just pack up and time to pack up and go home.
No, absolutely. They've been great in the bubble up until now. I have a ton of respect for the way that they've played. I mean, the other weird thing about the bubble is obviously you're lacking that home court advantage. I love the idea of betting on the home team in game three, whether it's 1-1 or down 2-0. I feel like the crowd can get you fired up. I feel like that's where Portland suffered in game three on Saturday. I think they could have won if they had the home crowd. I mean, who knows what would happen in game one if you were in Staples Center. But, like, imagine if it was 1-1 and they went back to Portland last night. Think about if, like, Indiana might have had a better chance to beat the Heat in game three if they had their crowd behind them. Instead, they came out flat. And I think they're another team that they're going to just roll over in game four. Like, at this point, let's just pack up and go home. The Heat impressed me. I feel like I say this every week, that I'm more and more impressed with them. And they're making me regret picking the Bucks to go to the finals. I think the Heat can definitely beat the Bucks. And I think I said Bucks in 6 or 7, but I won't be surprised at all if the Heat beat the Bucks in the second round.
My thing is yeah, I don't want to take away anything from the Heat because they have looked good. But they've also played a Pacers team that's playing against maybe a 80% Oladipo. No Sabonis. No Aaron Holiday. Like, they're missing basically 2.5 of their main rotation right now. And obviously TJ Warren's been playing well and stepping in and doing well. But let's be real, they lucked out a little bit, you know, this first round. I mean, obviously I think they would have beat the Nets if they faced the Nets. I think they would have beaten the 76ers if they played the 76ers. But now they're going to be going up against the Bucks, and it's going to be it's big boy time. Like, Jimmy Butler can solidify his career if he could find a way to lead this Heat team and beat the Bucks.
And it's just got to be like salt in the wound for Philly to see they're up 3-0. They might have a chance to beat the Bucks, and Philly's home. So that's got to be regretful. But yeah, I'm just impressed. I know you're right. I mean, Indiana's certainly shorthanded. They're banged up. But I don't know. There's something about this Heat team. And
the skill, you know what I mean, you got Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's a great two-way player. Dragic has gotten, like, a second life now where he's, like, this is the Suns Dragic that the Heat have always dreamt of getting. And then they're Duncan Robinson and Tyler Hero do not miss. They are absolutely unconscious. Bam Adebayo is maybe one of the more underappreciated players in the league. This is just a really good roster, and they are playing well. Don't get me wrong. I do not want to take it away from them. They are playing great. But, yeah, they're just playing up against the banged-up Pacers, but I'm super excited for Butler versus Giannis. I think it's going to be awesome.
When you talk about, like, a team's culture, a lot of the times you're just like, the culture, whatever. Who cares about the culture? Heat culture is a real thing. I mean, you said Duncan Robinson. Like, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero were not highly heralded draft picks when they were taken, and Adebayo was an all-star this year. Dragic was kind of like, I mean, Dragic, I guess, was a big trade at the time that they made it. They got Kendrick Nunn, was undrafted. Like, the Heat culture is one of the best in the NBA, where they just take guys off the street and turn them into stars, and they just plug them into their lineups. It's really incredible the way that they've built this team.
Yeah, I mean, props to Pat Riley and props to Eric Spoelstra.
I mean, Spoelstra, I mean, this guy, he gets, you know, he's a first-year coach, essentially, with the big three. And so, normally, you know, with LeBron, I mean, I'm often has LeBron coaches switched in his tenure. And the fact that Spoelstra was able to, obviously, win, I mean, that roster was ridiculous. So it would have been very bad for Spoelstra if he couldn't win back with the Heat. But then, like, the Heat have always been relevant after LeBron left too. Like, Spoelstra's just been a rock, and he's maybe probably one of the most underappreciated coaches in the NBA too.
Well, think about this when you talk about, like, the best coaches in the NBA. Think about the East, the potential second round of the East. Mike Budenholzer won Coach of the Year with the Hawks and won it last year with the Bucks. They're going to play the Heat. Spoelstra was an assistant under Riley when they won in 2007, and he won the two titles with the Big Three. And like you said, he's still been consistent. Stevens hasn't accomplished anything major in the NBA other than, you know, turning this franchise back around. He did lead Butler to two Final Fours, but he's considered one of the best young coaches. And Nick Nurse won the championship last year and the Coach of the Year this year. So you literally have four of the best coaches in the second round. These series are all going to go 6 or 7. I'm ready to start the second round tomorrow.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And it's really going to come down to, obviously, you know, you need the players to execute, but it's going to be really interesting to see what adjustments these coaches make, because there's going to be weird matchups. There's great players everywhere. And you're just, these coaches are going to have to make adjustments. Especially just in the bubble life, like things just, I feel like everyone's playing, you know, a little bit different roles. Everyone's just, you know, you're not traveling. So you're a little bit, everyone's a little bit more well-rested between games now, so I feel like you're able to go and play a little bit harder. Like, I feel like the effort around the playoffs in total has been amazing. I mean, these guys are just, they're such a fun to watch, these games. Like, and it's just going to get better as the playoffs continue on.
I think the one thing that hurts is you do play every other day, whereas you're playing 2 or 3 days in a normal world, but of course you're also traveling in that normal world too. So it kind of cancels out. It's like, well, it's play every other day, but you don't have to leave your hotel. You don't have to
there's no commute
to practice or anything.
There's no flights. Yeah, there's way less commuting. There's no time zone changes. There's just, I mean, obviously, you know, it's not perfect. Like, obviously, these guys are, you know, stuck in these hotels and everything like that. So, you know, that's a huge adjustment as it is. But it's like, you're, you know, they finally, starting in this round of the playoffs, once the non-playoff teams, you know, left the bubble, family members were able to start going. So now there's a little bit more comfortability in there. And I think these players are just, they're just going to get better throughout these playoffs just because of all the factors that are eliminated in normal playoffs.
Absolutely. So there's two groups in the NBA. There's the winning group. Those are the teams in the playoffs. There's a losing group, the ones from the lottery. Any other thoughts on the winners that are, or winners or the losers, just the teams that are in the playoffs before we move on to the lottery?
You know, I'm just ready for the second round. I mean, there's been, I mean, obviously, you know, the first round's not done. We still have some good matchups happening here with the Lakers, Blazers, Clippers, Mavs, and Nuggets, Jazz. But I'm definitely excited for, you know, the better teams to advance and these superstars to play against each other. I think we're in for a real treat.
I wish they did best of five. When we were growing up, they did best of five in the first round. I feel like for the sake of the bubble, yep, they should have done it. Especially like, you know, teams like the Nets and the Sixers and the Pacers, just let them go home. Like, they're not winning four in a row. Just let them go home. But I know you're excited for the second round. I was excited for the lottery. I always am, because I'm an idiot and because my team sucks, because I'm a Knicks fan. The lottery is what I look forward to every single year, except, of course, when the Knicks trade their picks. It didn't work for the Knicks on Thursday. They're picking 8, and the Wolves are picking 1. Again, it's like the last 10 years, it's been the Wolves, the Pelicans, and the Cavs have had, like, every number one pick. 7 of the 10 number one picks have been the Wolves, Pelicans, and Cavs. It's crazy. It's always the same teams. It's never the Knicks.
No, it sucks, because this is a draft where if you're really outside of the top two, it's going to be really hard to be excited about a pick that your team makes.
I I don't know that I agree with that. I think it's a crapshoot outside the top two, but there's a lot of talented players. I think the Knicks will get a really good player, or potentially could get a good player at eight. I've seen Mark Driscoll Wiseman falls to eight. I don't think he will. I think that'd be crazy. Obi Toppin falls to eight. I'm into Devin Vessel, if that's the pick, the guy from Florida State. I'm not saying he's a star on the level of, you know, Ball or Edwards, but I'd be excited about that pick. The funny thing about the Wolves is I was saying that I think the Wolves winning number one is the best fit for Anthony Edwards, to put him with D'Angelo Russell and Carl Anthony Towns, and you have a team there. I assume they're going to take Edwards, because I love that fit in Minnesota.
I'd want, if I'm Minnesota and I'm serious about this Russell-Towns duo, which is going to be a really fun duo to watch, I'm taking Edwards. I do not want the distraction of LaMelo Ball really to come in with, you know, two of the rising stars in this league. I don't know if they're ready for that, whereas Golden State has, you know, the chance to draft LaMelo Ball with the Splash Brothers, where you have Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, who are vets and who have won, and who might be able to really shut out the, you know, the Ball family and just, you know, focus on developing LaMelo into a third Splash Bro with Wiggins. So I think that's a better fit. So I'm really hoping the Wolves do make the smart pick with Anthony Edwards, and then that's a really solid three-man rotation there, Mini.
Absolutely. So you mentioned Ball and the Warriors. Is that what you think they're going to do? Do you think they'll trade the pick?
I think the trade is in play there. If someone really wants LaMelo Ball, or if someone really wants Obi Toppin, or if someone really wants James Wiseman, I'd imagine the Warriors will definitely listen in on either future draft picks or just more role players for, you know, to surround Steph and Clay and Wiggins. Because, I mean, really outside of Steph, Clay, Wiggins, you don't really have, I mean, you still have Draymond, so you still have four. Their bench has been depleted. It's not the championship Warriors that we've seen. If they want to come back in and compete right away for a championship, they need to add depth. And LaMelo Ball could easily, you know, be a 15-point scorer per game in that offense, high flying, make threes and whatever, and he could be a really nice role player. But for the number two pick, you might be able to get, like, two role players in a pick, depending on the team you're working with. And that might not be the worst play.
It's interesting because the problem that the Warriors are dealing with is this isn't 2019. If they had this pick last year, you can probably get – oh, my God, Luka Doncic is amazing. If the Warriors had the number two pick last year, they could probably get Bradley Beal or Kevin Love for that pick. You can't get those guys this year because I don't think LaMelo Ball is that hot of a commodity, or James Wiseman is that hot of a commodity that you can make a trade like that. You know, I think it's like the kind of caliber of player they're going to get is maybe a guy like Aaron Gordon might be the best player they can get, which is good, which is fine. But if you can get Aaron Gordon, should you just take James Wiseman and roll the dice with him? The one team, of course, that I think is desperate enough to get Ball, what?
I would love it. If you could turn the number two pick on this draft into Aaron Gordon, I think you should do it.
I said before, Orlando's roster is weird. They have to shake up the roster. So why not just shake it up and try something different? The funny thing is, the one team that would be so desperate and trade anything to get Ball would be the Knicks. And I think the Warriors would be happy to move down to eight and get what you said, a perfect bench role player in that spot. But what do the Knicks have that the Warriors need? Julius Randle? He's not a fit on the Warriors. Warriors have no use for a guy like Kevin Knox. That's the problem, is that the Knicks just lack. I don't think Mitchell Robinson fits there. The Knicks, I don't think the Knicks can get up to two, because I don't think they can give the Warriors a championship piece. Unless you think Julius Randle is that piece.
I don't know if Julius Randle would be a good fit for the Warriors. Aaron Gordon would be a great fit for the Warriors. A super athletic, like, four who could come in, also make threes as well. Like, that's it. They need a guy who can run up and down the court and just be amazing, amazing athlete. And I don't think Wiseman fits that. I don't think Mitchell Robinson really fits that. It's a weird spot. Obi Toppin is not fast enough to keep up with the Splash Bros. So it really, LaMelo Ball is the perfect fit, or they can trade it and find, you know, better fits in the future, or better fits through role players. Because I just think if you can get established role players that fit that team well, that could be just as valuable as LaMelo Ball. And if you miss out on LaMelo Ball becoming greatness, then you just live with it. This is the most questionable draft we've had in a long time.
Since 2013, since Anthony Bennett went one, Oladipo went two. I mean, that was a weird draft. And I think looking back on it, it's like Oladipo and McCollum are the only good lottery picks from that year. And then Giannis obviously was 15. Like, that was an awful draft in retrospect. But I think there's good players here. There's just no star. There's no consensus pick.
No, so it's tough when, I mean, obviously the Timberwolves could be good soon because they have good players. The Warriors are going to be good immediately because they're going to be healthy and have good players. Charlotte is terrible, and they're not going to be adding anyone who's really going to happen. It's just going to be it's going to be the same thing. They're going to draft the college name that everyone knows, and he's just going to go and rot in there. The Bulls are in an interesting position with a new coach. And at this point, I think for the Bulls at four, you don't draft a team need. You still have to draft best player available. So whatever the Bulls, who's ever available for the Bulls there, it's draft them. And if you reach, and the crazy thing is, it's like you don't reach. I mean, if the best player you think is, let's say, like Cole Anthony, take Cole Anthony at four. Like there's no, after like really the first two and like maybe Wiseman and Toppin, like there really is, there's no reach. I don't think there really is a wrong pick until like 5 years from now, and it's like, oh, well, they had an opportunity to pick this guy, and so now he's an all-star. You can't foresee that right now in this draft because it's not obvious. There's no obvious picks to be made.
I'm looking now at a mock draft. They have the Knicks taking Denny Avdija, the guy from Israel. But I've seen other mock drafts where he goes three to the Hornets. I see Wiseman here at three. I've seen Wiseman outside the top 10. Obi Toppin is all over the place. So you're right. The teams are going to have wildly different boards, that none of this is going to make sense. And this is going to be something that we're going to make fun of teams in a few years. Just because you look in hindsight, it's like, oh, why'd they take him over him? There's not going to be a consensus at all in this draft. It's going to be fun. I do have a question.
I can't wait till we do our mock. When we do our mock drafts, if we combine to get eight picks in the first round, right? I think that'd be amazing. If we combine, and normally I feel like we usually are around like we can get like 6 to 8 in the right spot, and then a couple other guys, you know, to the same team, but later on in the draft or whatever. This one is like, oh my god, I'm going to close my eyes and put a name in somewhere.
Well, part of that is cheap, because like last year we got the top three. So like right off the bench of three picks, like we knew it was Zion, Ja, and RJ. And I think there were a few other picks that we got right throughout the draft, but there's no guarantee that we get number one right. And if you don't get number one, then you know, from there, it's just going to go sideways. But my question for you is, you said Minnesota could be good soon. Warriors will be good right away. I'm looking at the East, and I feel like I talked about this a little bit last week. Looking at the West, there are 8 teams that made the playoffs. Who's most likely to miss the playoffs? Because you probably have to find room for the Warriors next year. So let's start there. Let's start with the Warriors. Who's the one team in the West that you think could miss the playoffs?
Pat, are there any? I haven't looked at the free agent list yet. Are there any big players that are on any current playoff teams right now that are at risk? So obviously, Lakers, you're assuming LeBron and Anthony Davis are going to be there next year. Absolutely. Clippers still have Paul George and Kawhi. Nuggets, they have their core signed through. Rockets, Westbrook. Is Westbrook a free agent?
Off the top of my head, the Nuggets have Millsap, but I don't think Millsap's a core player at this point. No, Westbrook.
No,
Westbrook's under contract for a long time.
Then the Thunder. Is Chris Paul still under contract with them? I mean, they have a young team.
Three more years. He has an insane contract.
They have a young team. They have a young, talented team, but they're iffy. The Jazz have a solid team, but when you're talking about the top heavy teams, they're there. The Mavs are only going to get better. The Blazers, I mean, I think they need a key signing, but they're clearly talented enough. So I think it's really going to be between the Thunder,
the Jazz, the Blazers. So that's three playoff teams right now, and then the Warriors. So those four teams are playing for three spots, and then obviously you're adding in the Wolves are probably going to be improved, but obviously the Wolves have to make a huge jump. I don't know if they're going to be there. The Kings need to make a jump. We saw how good the Suns played in the bubble. Are they ready to make the jump to compete for that spot? So I really think the Warriors are going to take one of the Thunder, Jazz, Blazers spots. I feel comfortable locking in Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets, Mavs.
Sitting here today, I would swap out the Warriors for the Thunder, even though they have that good young team. And actually, I just realized Danilo Gallinari is the answer to your question. He's a free agent. So maybe if he doesn't come back to OKC, that could be a big loss for them.
Yeah, it's tough because he's the true – I mean, I guess they have three real veterans on that Thunder team with Chris Paul, Gallinari, and Steven Adams. And those are three really good veterans. But the thing is, if you lose one and if you're not able to sign them, like when was the last time the Thunder really had a big signing? They traded for Paul George.
Never.
Never. So you're not really – you can't expect the Thunder – to have a good offseason and bring in talent unless they trade for it. And we've seen what the Thunder are not shy to make big trades. We've seen that. For them to remain relevant and keep in the playoffs, we might need to see them do something with the roster that's a little weird, or else I just think they are going to be left out. I agree with you. I would lean towards the Thunder just with Chris Paul being older, and I just don't know if that team is set up for a long season success next year when you've got the Lakers, Clippers, Nuggets, Rockets, Blazers, Mavs, and then the Warriors are ready to roll come beginning of the season.
And then that doesn't take into consideration the Grizzlies, who had the 8th seed all year.
Yep.
And then they lost, and Jaren Jackson was hurt at the end of the season. The Suns obviously went 8-0 in the bubble. They have the number 10 pick. They have a chance to get even better. The Spurs, I think the Spurs are probably done at this point, but they are still the Spurs. They will have a healthy Aldridge and a lottery pick for the first time in 50 years. The Kings, I don't know. Pelicans will have a new coach. They'll have Zion. They'll have Jrue Holiday. And then the Wolves will have Edwards. Like, none of these teams are bad. Like, I don't think the Wolves are making the playoffs. I don't think the Kings are making the playoffs. Probably not the Spurs. But those aren't bad teams. Those are teams that could beat anyone on any given night. So, I don't know when the next season's going to start, because I think they said they're going to delay it. But I don't know, we're still literally in the middle of this season. But next year is going to be awesome, especially in the West.
Who's taking this last shot for the Clippers right here?
It's got to be Kawhi.
Oh, we got OT.
Crazy. This series between the Clippers and the Mavs is something.
It is something.
This is wild.
This is, how good of experience is this for Doncic, whether they lose in this series or not? Like, this Mavs team is going to be scary, because I have a feeling guys are going to want to play with Doncic, so they could be a sneaky contender for getting a max contract guy this offseason. The Mavs are ready for some serious success in the near future.
They want to play with Doncic, but Rick Carlisle, too. We're talking about those great coaches out East. Rick Carlisle is regarded as one of the best coaches in the NBA. He's won a championship in Dallas. He's been in Dallas for like 10, 15 years now. He's been there forever. People want to play for him. Forget playing with Doncic and with Porzingis.
Yeah.
They're going to want to play for him. So, yeah, it's going to be really, really interesting to watch this team develop. They definitely have a chance to be special in the future, which doesn't bode well for the Knicks, because everyone says the Knicks got nothing for Porzingis. They did get something. They got two future first-round picks. Obviously, at this point, it seems like those picks are not going to be very high. They're probably going to be in the mid to high 20s, but we'll see how the Knicks use those picks. Everyone rips on the Knicks. ESPN posted some stupid Joker face, like, ha-ha, Knicks fans getting ready for the lottery. Bleacher Report, SI, everyone rips on the Knicks. And the funny thing about ripping on the Knicks with the lottery is the lottery is like, it's like making fun of someone for losing $20 in roulette. Like, it's not like the Knicks lost the lottery. They didn't do anything. They sat there. They didn't get the ping pong balls. But in a draft like this, it's fine. They moved back two spots. I still think they'll get a good player at 8. It's the market. It's the New York market. I hate it because it's It's this slogan, say Knicks for clicks. That's why ESPN does it. That's why Bleacher Report does it, because the Knicks generate engagement on social media. No one cares that the Kings pass on Luka Doncic. No one cares that the Cavs took Anthony Bennett number one. And no one cares that 10 years ago Minnesota took two point guards over Steph Curry. No one cares that the Charlotte Hornets have passed on countless stars over the years. I mean, the Knicks passed on Donovan Mitchell. So did the Hornets. They took Dennis Smith or Malik Monk. I don't remember who they took. They took one of those two guys. Or no, they didn't take Dennis Smith. The Mavs did. The Hornets took Monk, who's terrible. So all these other teams passed on the same players that the Knicks passed on. Nobody cares because they're the Knicks. It drives me absolutely insane.
It would drive me insane too. But, you know, that's just being in the market, being the Knicks. It's, hey, at least, you know, all press is good press, even though it doesn't seem like it. At least, even when your team is not relevant winning wise, they're still relevant in the news. At least, like, you can go on ESPN and you can at least have your team talked about. Like, no one's going on SportsCenter and talking about the Kings. No one's talking about the Wolves. No one's really just talking about these teams. So at least it's like your team's just not forgotten in the NBA, where it's like you could be a Charlotte fan and just like, oh, you're never going to see your team play like on national TV or talked about, really. Like, the Knicks still just have a chance. They just need a few just things to just roll their way for once. And honestly, like, maybe not winning the draft this year is a good thing for the Knicks, because this, you would have said, like, the Knicks would have screwed up the first round, the first pick this year. They would have found a way. But, you know, maybe it's the start of something where maybe next year they do get the first pick and they do make the right pick. You never know. The future still...
Cade Cunningham.
You never know.
I mean, yeah, I'd rather, if we're going to ever have luck, I'd rather save it for next year. Get Cade Cunningham or Jalen Green or whomever. There's some talent in the 2021 draft. I mean, yeah, it's whatever. I know they need to win. They need to do something positive to get rid of the negativity. But it's just funny because I'm trying to defend them the other day on Twitter, and people are like, oh, well, you've been garbage for 40 years. Like, well, we have been to two finals in the last 40 years, so we're not really garbage for 40 years. Someone said the Knicks are overrated. I think we need to get this guy a dictionary, because I don't know how the Knicks would be overrated. The Knicks suck. Everyone knows that they suck. Everyone thinks that they're going to suck. So I don't know where overrated comes into play. But it sucks. They've done some great things this offseason, though. They've hired some good guys, good reputable guys in the front office. They just hired an assistant coach who's highly regarded, has worked with Dame and Mitchell in the past. They hired a developmental guy from Kentucky who also has a relationship with Knox and Julius Randle. They hired Thibodeau, who is as reputable as anybody that was out there as a head coach. So I don't know. I feel like I've said this 100 times. Maybe they hired the right guys this year. Maybe they'll actually make the right draft pick. And we'll probably still be laughing stock. But like you said, it's good to be relevant. I mean, the Knicks are talked about more locally and nationally than the Nets, who are in the playoffs. So that's certainly a thing.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just the future is undetermined right now for the Knicks. And they have a chance to just, you know, make up for all their previous mistakes that they get made up for. And it's just like, you never know. They could hit a home run with the eighth pick this year, and it could just turn out to be, you know, a really good role player or a good star. We'll just have to ride it out.
Yeah, they probably won't. And if he is good, they'll probably trade him for Dennis Smith in future first-round picks. It's like, I want to be positive, but it's so hard. Any other non-Knicks thoughts? Any other thoughts on the lottery, the playoff teams, before we wrap this thing up?
No, I think we've covered it pretty well. Ready for the second round to just advance to see, you know, just more good games.
And then I'm ready for the NFL. I think we need to do our NFL preview, like, ASAP. I'm ready.
It's coming up, definitely. I'm ready, too.
As long as they start on time. I guess some weird story came out today with these false positive COVID tests, but assuming that all the testing gets figured out and we start on time, we have, I guess, less than 3 weeks now, so we'll do our football show very soon.
Yeah, I think we're, from this coming Thursday, it's 2 weeks?
Yeah, that's awesome. Mahomes versus Watson.
That's
great
matchup.
I'm sure I'm sure locally the Bears fans are going to love watching Watson versus Mahomes. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Happy birthday again to Kobe Day. Enjoy Mamba Day, 8:24 on Monday. And, yeah, check out MikeDropSports.com. Follow us on social media, and you'll hear from us again in a week.
Thank you for listening.